Chains are gone, I've been set free. And amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
First of all, no prayer on Friday, amen, to support the meetings down in Lima there, amen. I think all the meetings are at 7 in the evening as far as the Friday and Saturday. I believe Brother Craig Brewer is preaching Friday, Brother Dwayne Lawson is preaching Saturday morning. I'm not sure on the time in the morning service, and then Brother Donnie Reagan is preaching Saturday night and Sunday morning at 7 and probably 10:30. But Brother Craig had said if there's places available to stay, if anybody would want to stay down there overnight anywhere, so anybody has need of that, just get with probably one of the deacons and we'll get in contact with somebody who they would be able to point you to the right direction there. Amen. Just, I think that's all as far as announcements. Amen. We have one prayer request here from Brother Caleb. This is my friend Aaron's brother died Tuesday. Please pray for Aaron's family. Amen. So let's keep them in prayer. Amen. Ask Brother Simon if he can lead us in a word of prayer. Also bear with us. The air conditioning furnace unit, the blower up there went out, so it gets a little warm. Amen. Just keep on praising the Lord, because the devil don't like us praising God, but if we praise the Lord, we'll win the victory. Amen. Amen.
Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we love you, God, Lord, and we're thankful, Lord, to be here again, God,
yes,
Lord.
Lord,
just want to worship you, Lord, today, God, Lord. We know you're in the midst, God, Lord, and Lord Jesus, Lord, we just waiting anxiously, Lord God, for the coming of your Lord Jesus, and just, Lord, can't wait to be caught up with you, Lord God. And Lord, just give us eyes and ears, Lord, to
yes, Lord,
see and hear, Lord, and Lord, and this word tonight, God. And Lord Jesus, Lord, just anoint us, Lord, to find these last seed, God, Lord. And Lord, Lord, just make that harvest just white and ready for it, Lord. And Lord Jesus, just anoint us, Lord, to do the last work there, God, Lord. Let us find the last ones, Lord. Let us believe our all the way to the end, Lord. Our families are going to come in, Lord, and we'll have them, God. And Lord Jesus, Lord, we just have to have them, Lord God. We're not leaving. Lord, we just want them to be with us, Lord, when we leave, Lord. We love you, Lord, and Lord, just bless tithes and offerings, Lord. Be with that family there, Lord, and Wasion, Lord, just suffering a loss there,
yes,
God.
Lord.
You know all things, Lord, and everything will work out for your good, God. And Lord Jesus, we love you, Lord. Just bless the saints for pushing their way out, God, Lord, and we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just sing that song, Hallelujah, anyhow. Don't let that devil get you down, amen. No matter what you might be going through today, don't let the devil get the victory today, amen. We just want to give God all the glory, give him all the praise, amen. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, anyhow. Oh, don't let that devil get you down. Oh, when destruction comes your way, hold your head up high and say, hallelujah, anyhow. Hallelujah, hallelujah, anyhow. Oh, don't let that devil get you down. Oh, when destruction comes your way, hold your head up high and say, hallelujah, anyhow. Hallelujah, hallelujah, anyhow. And don't let the devil get you down. Oh, when destruction comes your way, hold your oh, Hosanna.
Jerusalem is my home, amen. And up the mountain, down in the valley, Jerusalem is my home. Hallelujah. Up the mountain, down in the valley, Jerusalem is my home. Well, home, sweet home, Jerusalem is my home. Hallelujah. Home, sweet home, Jerusalem is my home. Up the mountain, down in the valley, Jerusalem is my home. Pains of death seized on my soul, I would not be denied. Amen. How many can come with an upraised hand and say that today? I cannot be denied because what of God said in the Word. Amen. When pains of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried, till Jesus came and He made me whole, I would
from the dead. Oh, but praise the Lord, the world.
applause, saints. Amen. Just sing that song, Fill My Way With Love, amen, as we walk with a heavenly dove.
And let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go.
Of God this evening, amen. We're asking you to take your Bibles as we get ready to move into the Word now. I pray everyone was blessed with the fellowship with the Word of God this past weekend, amen. Very nice to have Brother Joseph and Brother JJ here. Just fine brothers, amen. And certainly, by the grace of God, we pray you come hungry this evening. Amen. I find it kind of interesting, being a type of person that doesn't look for coincidences. Amen. We seem to have a lot of altercations this evening. Amen. Seem like we got stuff just seemingly wanting to fight us. Amen. We got bats flying around the church. Well, not flying. They're actually sleeping right now. Got bats in the church, and our ACs went out. And if you haven't noticed, the temperature is rising. Things are getting hotter. Amen. So I just kind of, being that maybe type of individual, when I kind of look at those things and then I see what I'm preaching, and that kind of just draws me to things, little conclusions, that it just really looks like this is the hour. Amen. Let's just open up our Bibles, have a very simple sermon tonight, and actually it's been something I've fully covered before. I wouldn't say fully, but You never can really fully cover all, any of God's topics, but by the grace of God, we would like to work with Habakkuk 3:2 and Psalms 85, verse 6, if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles. I've kind of been feeling led to go this way for quite a long time, maybe months, and I've just kind of been waiting for God to push me into a place that He just moves me into that position. I had all sorts of pulsation thoughts and this thought and that thought, but I really feel pricked of the Spirit to come this way this evening. And now that I've decided by the grace of God, I believe by the help of God to go this way, I believe that seeing things that are happening this evening, it just appears to be the will of God. Amen. So I pray that you be very attentive. I have a lot of reading to do, and I would probably say that the things you'll hear tonight are things that you have heard in the past, amen, but yet we'd just like to bring your minds and your hearts to this attention, amen. Habakkuk 3:2 says here, it says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Psalms 85, verse 6. Psalms 85:6 says here, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Seems like by a biblical definition, a people revived are a happy people. Amen. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, how we love you this evening, God. And Lord, as the temperatures have risen in here, Lord, we're just praying, God, as Lord, the climate against the true body of Christ, Lord, is growing hotter and more hostile, Lord, in the spiritual environment, God. We just ask, God, now that you just come, Lord, this evening. And Lord, would you speak your word to us, God? And Lord, we have need of thee tonight, Lord. And Lord, we have a mission. We have a vision, God. We have places and things, oh God, that we'd like to see become reality, Lord, and to be accomplished in another aspect, God. So, Lord, as we get ready to minister this word, Lord, we just ask, and Lord, I pray, Lord, that there are some that have entered the same spirit that I am doing my best to enter right now, Lord, that Lord, you just be with us, O God. Speak thy word, O God. O God, bring our attention, God, to, O God, the precepts that you desire for us to have this evening, Lord. And God, as we go through these things, Lord, I just pray, O God, that you'd certainly come in our midst, God, and give us strength, God. And Lord, allow us, O God, to see, O God, that where there's a battle striving, God, there's some victory that's meant to be won, God. Lord, may we find victory in the name of Jesus Christ this evening, God, as we give ourselves wholly to you now. For your glory we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. If we had a title for this evening's sermon, it would be Revive Thy Work. Amen. If we had a topic, very simply, it would be revival. Amen. I pray that you can get in the spirit of what I'm saying. or what I feel the Holy Ghost is trying to say to you this evening. Amen? I don't know if I want to preach or teach, because I realize that if I preach, I'm going to start getting really sweaty. But by the grace of God, one thing we know for certain is that we want what God wants. Amen? And I pray you want what God wants. Now, notice if we can start getting into this. We've dealt with this subject, and I actually, as within my computer notes, we were in this type of a mindset, this type of a frame of the sermon preaching in the year 2010. Amen? And by the grace of God, working with the thought of revival. And this evening, we'd like to start going through this as we understand that it is really more of a focal point, maybe even so much as one of the main factors of our Christianity is to constantly be in a faction of being close to God. Amen? So in doing that this evening, we'd like to start working with a few details here. And we'd like to actually try to get you in a mindset of where we're at and what we're looking at and where we should be going. Amen? But by the grace of God, I just pray if you can get into the spirit of this, then you'll find yourself being in the blessing of it as well. Amen? Now, I don't know if this will just be one or be one of many. I don't know. But what I do know by the grace of God is I have some things here that I believe are needful to say. Amen? Now, as a church, I believe that if I would ask, how many would be able to amen and say the church should have a vision? Amen. Praise God. Well, it looks like that's a great start. That's a great place to start amening. But church, I want you to see tonight that the church needs to have vision. Amen. And that vision should always be Jesus Christ in its entirety, right? But we understand that we can't expect Jesus Christ to actually come here and do everything Himself in a physical form. But it's actually God's design and desire to actually be an infilling and living in you, right? His full desire is that He might make Himself known in you. Amen. So, in looking at that, what do we see? We see that what? It actually comes down to a place where you should be able to tell if this God would be in you. Amen. Now notice, God in you, of course, in uniting are one. But we understand that there's a divine aspect of God that must be what? Visibly seen and should be spiritually seen by you as well. Amen. Help me preach. Amen. Now, notice here, why is this important? As we see Habakkuk and we understand the situation, I won't be going through this tonight, but I want you to contemplate, put this in your mind this evening, that here he is crying out, and he says, Lord, revive thy work in the midst of years. Amen. Amen. That would actually suppose that something was not in a revived state. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, notice what the word revival is. Amen. According to Webster's 1828, a revival is a return or recall or recovery to life from death or apparent death. Amen. So something that is not alive, like it should be alive, is what? Is a candidate to be revived. Now notice, you cannot be revived if you've always been dead. You would have actually had to be alive before and fell into a stage where you were lacking. Or you would come in the disposition of actually looking like you were dead. Amen. So then you could look and you could say that that would actually show that a revival is needed. Amen. So notice here, as we continue in definition, it is a recall or return or recovery from a state of neglect. And that should actually be on there. Good job, brother. Right as I said it, you're right on the ball. Amen. So notice a recovery from a state of neglect. Amen. Or a state of oblivion. there. Or what? A state of obscurity or depression. What you're not actually looking at the reality of what you are.
Amen.
But you're actually at a state of what? Of being in disarray from the actual substance of what you're supposed to be.
Amen.
So notice, of course, as we continue, it says in the fourth one, it says renewed and more active attention to religion and awakening of men to their spiritual concerns.
Amen.
Why is that important? Because every day you show what is most important, your spiritual concern or your natural concern. Amen. And when you don't see that full light shining like it's supposed to, it's actually stating spiritually to you that you are actually in a need of revival. Now, why is revival important? Now, notice this. The message in 1963, I've got a lot of quotes and a lot of my friend Charles Finney this evening. In the message, how can I overcome? Now, look at this. In the message, how can I overcome? It's kind of like you look at the message, total deliverance. You kind of get what that's trying to tell you. You look at the message, the rapture. You kind of understand where God is trying to point to. If you can see a man was inspired by God to begin with. And notice this here, and how can I overcome? It says here, moving down, it says, I could take this one text and with the Holy Spirit preach on it 100 years and never get what's in it out. Because in this one text, like all other texts of the Bible, it's all tied together. And I want to take my subject this morning of this. How can I overcome? Now notice this. Now I chose this. Why did he choose this? Look. Because that I think that it's a time that we should never let the spirit of revival die. So notice what you have here. You have what? You have an end time that they're living in here. But notice you have the spirit of revival.
Amen.
So it's actually not just revival, but it's actually a spirit of revival.
Amen.
Or what? It's an attitude. What? Or it's an actual what? Getting God where He needs to be. In a revived state. Let's continue. He says, we've got to keep in revival. Constantly revive every day. You agree with that? How many are fulfilling that? I'm not a show off either. I don't need to be because I can't. Now notice this. It says what? Constantly revive every day. Now notice, how can I overcome? How are you going to overcome, church? How are you going to make a rapture? Now notice, if you actually read into this sermon, this is all about what? The reward of the Laodicean church. And they sit on the throne with Christ because they overcome.
Amen.
And now we see that if you want to sit on that throne, you have to be at a state of revival. And not just, okay, I'll be it there. But you need to be in a place where you can be in a revival every day. Let's continue. It says we've got to keep in revival, constant revival every day. Paul said he had to die daily that Christ could live. And we must never let that revival die within us.
Amen.
Never let it die. Notice. If God ain't in this church like He's supposed to be, and everything inside of you says that, now we can start finding a little revival. Would anyone be so bold to say, we've got it? We are fully, totally in the perfect condition for the rapture right now as a body. Oh, we're quiet. Don't stay like that. Please don't stay like that. Now notice, why? Why is it so dry? Why does it look like things are dead? We should be able to agree, and you will by the end of this. But you'll find yourself in a place, okay? If God's the same God, if He's the same God on Pentecost, then why do things look the way that they do right now? Why can't we alter this? Why are we having such a hard time conquering this? Oh, hallelujah. Now notice here, Jezebel religion 61. It says, 97, brother. It says, then what happened after that? Listen, after that attack, His voice became quiet. Okay? Nobody heard Him no more. Now, who's this talking about? Jezebel religion? This is talking about Elijah.
Right. Amen.
Jezebel religion? Jezebel. Amen. So it's talking about Jezebel, Ahab, and Elijah. Right. Now notice, it says God called him off the scene. Amen. So now notice we have something going on here as far as what? God using Elijah for a special purpose. And then God having to yank Elijah off the scene. Let's continue with this. He and said, Elijah, you've done made your message known to all of Israel. They know it. Now, come up here in the wilderness. Get away from them. Separate yourself, because I'm going to do something. I'm going to show them what it is to turn my message down. What set in? War, famine, and starvation. Thus saith the Holy Spirit, watch what's coming. Watch what's going to follow. Thus saith the Lord. There was a famine. That there will be a famine. Oh, maybe not for bread, but for hearing the Word of God and His truth, all the churches will socialize and go right on into it. Just the same. Just like they've already been swallowed up with it. So notice, we have what? Elijah giving a message. But what? God would silence Elijah. Right? Because why? His message was fully sown.
Amen.
And then God would have to bring judgment upon Israel for rejecting that message.
Amen.
And notice what your prophet's using. He's using Amos 8:11. It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We ain't got no problems getting water, huh, brothers? Amen. We don't got a problem getting bread, brothers and sisters. Oh, yet. But by the grace of God, where is the battle? Since the prophet has been took off the scene, it's been for hearing the true Word of God. Because they've even twisted what the prophet has said. And what? God silenced the prophet so they can say whatever they want to say. But what? The drought come on the people because they rejected the message. Hallelujah. Remember Malachi 4, 5, and 6. It says, I'll send Elias the prophet before the great and dreadful day. What? He said, set thy smite the earth with a curse. Why? Because they would reject the message of that prophet. If you want to say it for what it is, they rejected the message of both prophets. Hallelujah. Notice 12th verse. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. Your prophet said that was that hour right there. But it's continued on into this hour. Because why? This is the time period where Jezebel has been given rule. Whether you see it or not. Amen. And watch. Now, the voice of Elijah is far and hard to find. Let's continue. Paragraph 100. It says, when God sends forth a message and tells the people and they don't receive it, then He withdraws His servant and says, sends His plagues. Famine, death, spiritually speaking. Physically also, you watch for a depression, brother. You think you've seen something. You just wait after a while. You haven't seen nothing. You think you're dying for a good spiritual revival. Now notice the connection. The connection is once the prophet was took away, it would become spiritually dry. And what? You'd have a hard time finding a spiritual revival. So notice, you think that you're dying for a good spiritual revival. You wait till after a bit. You just wait long and cry to hear the word of God. Oh no! The message has to die! It's not what that's saying. Because remember, Elijah was all right. But God just took him there. And the bride would have to find where there is. Hallelujah. Now, notice here, if we continue this, it says, the Bible said so, there be a famine in the last days, said the prophet, not for bread and water alone, but for hearing the true word of God. But that voice will be quiet in the wilderness somewhere hid away. Amen. So even when there's a drought, even when there's a famine because the prophet is gone, there is still that voice somewhere in the wilderness. But church, you just have to find it. And if you can find the voice of that message, hallelujah, I'm not talking about a man, that's the problem. I'm talking about the voice of that message, hallelujah. Hallelujah! The voice might have been a man, but the voice actually was what? A microphone that God used to express His own personality to His church. So how can I overcome? There's a voice. It's hidden. It's not where everyone's looking. But it's out there. If we can find it. Let's continue. Influence 64. E8. It says, but you see, the revival, it's not on. Just your presence to walk in with the people Why the people get up out of the cots and stretchers and walk around. Just lay your hands on them. And my, that just sent them whirling. What's that? That was when the revival was on. But he said the revival's not on. So he tells you what happens when it's on. And then he tells you what... he gives you what it is. Now notice here. He says, I've seen lines where there'd be 400 or 500 people come through the lines, deaf, dumb, blind, cross-eyed. Not one of them failed, but was what was healed? Every one of them. Oh, God, if I could have only been in there. Don't miss where you're at. Amen. Try it today. Oh, if that prophet was just here, I'd be healed. And he's saying in 1964, try it today. It wouldn't happen. Do you realize what that is? That was the spirit of revival pulling off the age.
Amen.
And notice it was even crippled in his ministry. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, you listen to the 50s, you hear them shouting and screaming and all that carrying on. You go to the 65.
Amen.
See what you hear then.
Amen, brother.
Now, notice here, try it today. See, there's no fire. In Rome, when the fires went out in the temple at Vesta, the people went home. See, now there's no revival fire to back it up. That's just it. After a while, if the world stands, they'll start living in the glare again. What's the glare? It's not the light itself, but it's actually what's coming off of that light.
Amen.
Amen. Now notice, see, that's the way it all ends. It's done passed over them and missed them. And that generation's to be judged for what passed over them.
Amen.
So notice what happens. The people literally, after revival, they start living on the glare of that age. Oh, hallelujah. If you can't see that in this message, you got a problem, church. Oh, hallelujah. Assemblies of God, that's in the glare of Azusa Street. The message is at the glare of the prophet. But the prophet revealed a person, church. And you're not to live in the glare of that person. You're supposed to live in the light of that person. It's time for us to get past a glare and to get into the person himself. Well, how are you going to do that? Oh, if God only had a prophet. He has his prophet here today. It is the Holy Ghost. And he's speaking to his church. It's not going to be big. It's not going to be huge. But somebody's going to catch that light. There'll be no glare after this light. You're not living in the final glare. You're living in the final light. Because in the evening time, it shall be light.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So notice. So now we're seeing why revival has actually died off. Why things are pretty dry even tonight. Why we can't have that anointing fire every night.
Come on, brother.
Amen.
But if you look at that and what? Place death upon the church, you miss the prophecy that went against that prophecy.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Your prophet like you's in Daniel 11. He said, they that know their God, they shall do exploits. Amen. Joel 2, right?
Amen.
The pouring out of the former and latter rain together. Those who speak to that mountain, and the mountain moves.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Now, whether that's a literal mountain or disbelief, what would be the difference? Because disbelief is what is ruling the whole thing anyway. Oh, hallelujah. How many could look at their life and say, there's disbelief there. Let me speak that out of there. It would be a greater obstacle to overcome this evening if you could see that unbelief there and you could say, be thou removed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But watch, we have to get in a condition. You just can't come right off your Laodicean bench and start firing. See our problem? We say, oh God, tonight it's going to end. You understand how many times we've all said that. And we haven't even got a mustard seed of faith to express it. It's what your prophet said. You think things are dry right now. Wait till a little bit later. That's the age you're living in. You see, they had, oh yeah, even 65. Yep, there could be some healings here now. There could be some miracles. But what? Further and further on. Oh, if we hear something from North Carolina, look what God just did. When that's supposed to be alive in the local assembly. But what is it? The virgins, what the young man, they're fainting for thirst. And every little pool of Bethesda sign, we say, oh, look what God did. Instead of realizing the nature of the problem, recognizing the word that you've been called to fulfill.
Amen.
What? We look at the glare. Oh. Like I said, I'm about everybody getting healed. But there's just some righteous indignation that rises in me when I hear stories about a bag of prayer cloths from Brother Dave Branham's day. And someone got healed from that. That just, it just burns me. To no end. You know what that is? Because I'll tell you right now, church, I don't have to go find where Paul was living. You know, the Apostle Paul?
Amen.
You know, like Acts 19:7? I don't have to go find Paul where he lived. And search around for a bag
right.
of his cloths.
Right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
They might be even more effectual. They've been sitting there that long. But what is it? You're raising a relic. Oh, the prophet prayed for that back there. I can be healed from that. Why can't you get enough faith for the very fivefold ministry that God gave you. Like I said, I'm not against it. Thank God people are getting healed. But when are we going to get to the place that we realize that our dead religion is our problem? Our dead religion, because don't you see it, church? A dead religion will bring a dead faith. The mustard seed is the smallest seed of them all.
Amen.
And we can't even come up with a mustard seed.
Come on, brother. Good.
Now notice, I want to show you a little bit. Because what was the definition of revival? The definition of a revival was what? It was something that was at a higher state at one time. And then it fell from that state.
Amen.
And then it would need to get picked up from there.
Amen. Right.
So now, I want to look into Charles Finney, Revivals of Religion, this evening.
Amen.
If you can smile with me.
Remember,
your prophet said that he was one of the most powerful preachers since the Apostle Paul. It's in your table if you actually look in the books for him. It says what a revival is. Do you have that on there, brother? It should be on there. It presupposes that the church is sunk down in a backslidden state. So before you can know what a revival is, you need to see that you are in a sunken state. Can I say it in a way that'll make y'all quiet? A backslid state? Thank you, Jesus, I'm backslid. Something good about that, if you actually realize that that's an actual issue. You say, who's in revival here? Wait a minute. Do you realize what revival is? It is when you're not in a dead state at all. But it actually, what? It presupposes that you were dead, but you actually come back to your original state. Hallelujah. Now notice it says, and a revival consists in the return of the church from her backslidings and in the conversion of sinners. This is not popular. We've proven, you and me, that we are more aptly happy being like this. Well, how do you prove that, brother? Because you're still right here. Okay. One, it says, a revival always includes, now this is what a revival is, conviction of sin on the part of the church. You know what that means? That means that people coming up for prayer after a preacher preaches, one person every 9 services, that shows that there's not a lot of conviction for sin.
Amen.
Well, you're saying I gotta react to the preacher. Well, what if you just actually come up to the altar? Because that's really basically what you really need.
Amen.
Okay. Let's continue. Said backslidden professors cannot wake up and begin right away in the service of God. Remember us Laodicean people? We want to push revival just like we push Siri. Help me out, Siri. What do you need? I need a revival. 1 second, I'll help you with that. Not very good, Siri. I'm sorry. Kind of. But what? We say, God, revive me right now. And notice, it doesn't happen like that. Well, that's what Charles Finney said. Now notice here. Let's go somewhere. Let's go to Making the Valley Full of Ditches, Shreveport, 656, E42. It says, and I believe that's the same thing tonight. I believe this America will be blowed to pieces. I believe the thing is done, been sunk and gone. If God didn't respect the real, genuine Christians in America that's praying to hold it together. When was this? Year of decision. These are the last years before the church was indicted and done away with, right? And who was holding it together? The Christians were. I believe it had been gone long ago. I believe the Japs, oh God help us, would have took it, or politically correct, you know. Or some other nation, if God hadn't a respect the honest, sincere prayer of a born-again children of God. That's right. And the only way, now I'm moving down, you're ever going to see your way out. How am I going to see my way out? How can I overcome? See Your Way Out is an old-fashioned spiritual revival, where the hallelujahs of God is ringing from the bottom of your heart. And an old-fashioned Holy Ghost-sent revival hits the place. Then you begin to see things. Then God will begin to reveal things. Then you'll wonder why these real Christians are hanging on. Why they're praying for you. What a revival. And he got in the Spirit. Now, notice, the reason that these people have dances, if they didn't have a dance, so they could get in the Spirit of dancing. You can't have a ball game unless you get in the Spirit of the ball games. Let's stop. So notice, when November 7th or whatever day that is, everybody starts saying, oh, you're going to watch the big Ohio State-Michigan game. Message people. They're getting in the spirit of that game.
Amen.
Ask them to come to church early. Ask them for a second service on a Saturday afternoon service. They ain't coming. Amen. We've seen that. Didn't we have a service one time? And a brother told us, he said, we would have come if the Ohio State-Michigan game was on. I remember that. They were more in the spirit for a football game than what their expectation was for God to do something. They chose a football game instead of God's. So, what would that say? They had more spirit of the game than they had the Spirit of God. But notice, there's an expectation that builds on that. If you're in the spirit of this age, what? You're looking for the thing that pleasures you. That what? That satisfies you. And you keep on doing that if it's a worldly thing, right?
Amen.
But, if you get away from the spirit of dance, you get away from the spirit of the game, you get away from the spirit of Laodicea.
Right.
Now we're talking about getting out before the bombs destroy this place.
Right.
He says you've got to get in the spirit of it. You ever see somebody, some of us used to like to dance, even when we weren't good at it.
Right.
I know some of us were. Would you dread having to go to that club? You're already getting that thing moving. Come on! You got to delete that video off there when I was doing that at the wedding there. Keep on showing it to everybody. You hurt my feelings, brother. Get rid of that thing. Dun, 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 dun. But church, you see, when you get in the spirit of something, it's not something that you just wait until you get to the ball game. Man, I hate going to this ball game. Oh, well, you know, tonight's ball game night. I got to go to the ball game. You know, I'm not going to leave early for this ball game because, you know, I don't care what kind of seat I'll get. Oh, somebody's playing in this ball game that I know. Yeah, I think I'll just come at the end of the game. Or, yeah, you know, the ball game's on, but, you know, I'm not much of a ball game type person. But if that somebody you know is in that ball game? Come on, let's go! We're going to be late! It is so easy to get into the spirit of all these little Laodicean dainties. But when we talk about the house of God, how easy is it to come to the church with an expectation? Hallelujah! How many of you come tonight, walk in the door like this, and you're in a big hurry? Hallelujah! God's going to do something tonight! Oh, we're going to have an awesome service tonight! Oh, God's going to come down! But what? There's a bat in the corner. Everybody goes running to the bat. Brother David, take care of that. And we were trying to shake people's hands. Everybody's just like, staring at the bat. And then I start staring at the bat. I got a sermon to get around. Let's get over here. I'm not telling anybody, but what I want to tell us is, look at how easily distracted we are. Is that bat more important than this church service? I'm not beating anybody up, but I want you to understand, even the heater, I mean, you know what? We could say a prayer. Amen. That God would start that AC, and then your pastor wouldn't have to be sweating like this.
Amen. Amen.
And I just sit here and don't say anything, and then I wait until I get up here and I get an inspiration and I preach against you and myself. I can't call the kettle black. Right?
Amen.
But look at our expectation. We're caught up on everything else instead of being in the Spirit on God's night.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. I will not be late to church.
Come on.
How come only the religious people are like that? When is the next time that one of us will come into church and we'll see someone in here sobbing at the altar before church starts?
Amen.
That would show someone who's in the spirit of revival.
Amen.
This is a hard saying. Who can hear these things? When are we going to get enough conviction to realize that what we're giving God is Antichrist? God, help us.
Amen.
Say, Brother Cam's aiming at me. Oh, don't trust. Trust me. This is tough. That's why God's letting everything go nuts tonight. Can we finish that quote now? Somebody said, can you finish that quote and let's go home? Notice. And we can never... Now notice, you can't have a ball game unless you get in the spirit of that ball game. Now what do those people do with the ball game? Yes! Dun, 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 dun. Go, Pack, go! And they got cheese heads on. They got everything looking stupid.
Come on, brother.
They're tailgating. I know you guys make it so hard. Always tailgating outside of the church here. We're having a party up in here. And we can never have a revival in Shreveport or anywhere else. Like Living Waters Tabernacle, maybe? Until the church gets in the spirit of revival. God can come and perform miracles. Look at this. He can show wonders. You're going to love this. He can stretch forth His hand to heal the sick and afflicted. Oh, hallelujah, that's the revival. Stop! The preacher can preach the gospel as hard as he can. So what do we have here? We have miracles, wonders. Stretch forth the hand sick, to heal sick and afflicted. The preacher preaching hard. You know, sweating. But there'll never be a revival until the church gets in the spirit of revival.
Amen.
Oh, God's with us. Somebody spoke in tongues. Oh, God's with us. And you just see what God did. He healed somebody.
Come on,
look at how hard that preacher preaches. That does not show that this church is in revival. Because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But when you really see a heart crying out to God, then you got something. Let's go back to my brother Charles. So notice, backslidden professors cannot wake up and begin right away in the service of God. It's true. They have to get in the spirit of a revival. The fountains of sin need to be broken up. At this point in time, you can all look at your neighbor. In a true revival, Christians are always brought under such conviction. Look at this, you're going to like this. They see their sins. They see their brother's sins. They see their sins. How many want revival? How many want to be revived? Oh, hallelujah. So notice, they see their sins in such a light that often they find it impossible to maintain a hope of their acceptance with God. Do you understand what that says? We're living in a day where we see, I never sinned in the first place. Right? Isn't that, that's one of our doctrines. But look at revival. Here's what I want you to think. If you can think with me. The problem is, we have an absolutely dead church focusing on how they've never sinned anyway. And what is it producing? Not one thing. Well, why is that? Because they've never even been dead enough to receive the Holy Ghost. I ain't saying nobody's got the Holy Ghost. But what I'm saying is, some of us that have the Holy Ghost, we're moved to such a place that we can't even fall under conviction for our own sins. So basically, why aren't there a lot of new converts in message churches? because we're actually trying to bring people to a light. We're trying to bring them to a revelation. When they haven't even come out of their sin. Now, why is there foolish virgin? They failed to get the fullness of the atonement. How do you get the fullness of the atonement? You have to completely die to oneself. To Christ.
Amen.
Don't get no carnal ideas out of this. So what? They fail to have the blood covering. You see what we're trying to do. Just like I read that quote was a week or so ago. It might be when I was preaching on the pulsation. That Brother Branham, in order to maintain that anointing, he had to constantly stay in the presence of God. He'd have to sit there and suffer himself and try to kill his flesh. We've missed that. In order for there to be a greater anointing in this church, we have to keep sin dead. He said it does not always go to that extent. Okay, so it doesn't go there every time. But there are always, in a genuine revival, deep convictions of sin, and often cases of abandoning all hope. Let me ask you where you're at right now. The rapture is right at our tail. How you feeling like you're doing? I'm ready to go. I know my gifts. Ready for the gift test? What you got? Gift of miracles? What you got? Prophecy? What do you support? Where are we finding ourselves right now? I don't know where you're finding yourself. But I see a word, and I'm not going anywhere from it. But I am finding myself at a place that I have no hope. I have absolutely not one hope of myself. The only way I'm going to get this rapture is if I can cry out and get God. Because what I have found of what I have of God is not enough to get me there. Thank God I got a word that tells me right where I'm at. But I'm not. We have to get out of the mindset that complacency with prophecy is fulfillment. But when desperation for prophecy fulfillment becomes our adequacy, then we find true fulfillment. What's stopping you tonight from being in full revival? Nobody's looking at me like that. Because you're smiling at me. Most of you. What's stopping you from your own revival? Is it your revelation? No, in a sense. But you know what I mean when I say your revelation. Because we get this message thought going, I got to be so smart. What is literally holding the church back right now is our Laodicean ways.
Amen. Right, brother.
You see, we might actually be almost perfect within ourselves regarding sin. Some of us have found that ourselves a lot easier to conquer than others.
Right.
Yeah, I know you'd be shocked at my faults just like I'd be shocked at yours. Thank God we put on what we do. Right? Because we all got them stuff up in our closets.
Come on, brother.
Come on. Except for me. But what's holding you back is what? We're not getting in the spirit of revival. Let me read it how Charles Finney says it. Because it really is not going to get any better than this. Okay? I'll read you the first one, page 31 in the Revivals of Religion. This is his remarks at the end of this chapter. He says, "Brethren, you can tell from our subject whether you need a revival or not." Is anyone here having problems seeing that they need a revival or not? I didn't go through much because I just sit here and start rambling and get under this inspiration, start saying all sorts of stuff, beat myself up and you. In your church or in your city? We got a problem when the church and the city need a revival. And whether you are going to have one or not. Elders of the church, men, women, any of you, and all of you, what do you say? Do you need a revival? Do you expect to have one? This gets better. Have you any reason to expect one? You need not be in any mist about it. For you know, or can know, if you will, whether you have any reason to look for it. And here is the beater. Two, you see why you have not a revival. It is only because you do not want one. Because you are neither praying for it. Yes, I am. Are you? Nor feeling anxious for it. I don't need to go back a half hour what I was saying, do I? Nor putting forth efforts for it. So what are you showing? God, do something in Living Waters Tabernacle. Then you wake up right about the hour time. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I appeal to your consciences. Are you making these efforts now to promote a revival? You know, brethren, what the truth is about it. Will you stand up and say that you have made efforts for a revival and have been disappointed? That you have cried to God, "Wilt thou not revive us?" And that God would not do it. You know why I push this so hard, church? Because we are living right at the latter rain falling.
Amen.
Also known as the greatest revival to ever strike man. When's that going to happen? Remember in Habakkuk, the prophet cried out, "Wilt thou not revive us?" Let's stand. The reason why you're not seeing God in your personal life and in your church life and everywhere else you want to see God is because you're not praying for God to be there. Now, another quotation from Charles Finney, just over top of my head, is he said that the human mind is too sluggish to pray for several things at one time. It can't place faith on everything as much as is needed with the subject based upon bringing forth what that is. Let me say it like this. You pray for your cousin. You pray for that church way over in South Africa. You pray for your dog. And then you say, well, and God, help those lost souls. And then you quickly move on. God, send us a revival. And then you quickly move on. God, make us in unity. And then you move on. You're really not showing that you have a heartfelt desire for those things. But you're literally just bringing up a wish list to God and just saying, I need this, I need this. Oh, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. Brother, how can you prove that? Because look at your list. You still have your list. Until you quit praying for them things and you start bringing up other stuff. He said, but if the people could get in the spirit of revival and start crying out for that, start praying for that, I ain't talking about, well, I can't pray for anything else but this. But when you can dedicate some time to the needful thing, let's say it like this. How many want a refilling of the Holy Ghost or want to receive the Holy Ghost? How much time are you dedicating to praying for a refilling? Anyone got 10 hours in it? Or last week? Or last month? Or last year? But what? We just bring it up in a 5-minute, 10-minute something. And remember, your prophet said, you can't just pray for 5 or 10 minutes. Bring a dry-eyed confession. You got to fight for it. Number three, as we close, do you wish a revival? Will you have one? If God should ask you this moment by an audible voice from heaven, do you want a revival? Would you dare to say yes? Doesn't this hurt? If he were to ask, are you willing to make the sacrifice? Would you answer yes? And if he said, when shall it begin? Would you answer, let it begin tonight? Let it begin here. Let it begin in my heart now. Would you dare to say so to God if you should hear His voice tonight? You can sit there and be quiet and say, God, are you going to say it to me? Or you can just get in the spirit of what the Spirit just said. The only thing holding us back is ourselves. The only thing stopping major changes from happening in this service is the individuals here. So I ask you, church, there's plenty more to say, but in closing, when we get tired of being backslid, that's when we'll start crying out for revival. So, I just put that on the table for you. You can say whether God spoke that to you or not. You could say right now, if God would put a conviction on your heart, say, do you want a revival? If God would ask you that right now, would you say yes? If God would ask you, are you willing to make the sacrifices? Would you say, yes, I want a revival, but no, I'm not fully ready to make the sacrifice. Every one of us, this is a great challenge. But this is what? It's getting in the spirit of revival. Is there anyone here that don't want a revival? Everyone wants a revival. So let's move to question two. Are you willing to make the sacrifices? Are you willing to sacrifice everything? I mean everything. I'll get to that probably Sunday if I go that way. I'm skipping church Sunday. Why would it push you away when you know this is what you need? Are you willing to make the sacrifice? Keep these things in your head as you pray tonight. As you leave here, when shall it begin? When do you want the revival? Well, when I'm tired of living the way I am. Or when God does this or when God does that. But tonight, if you've been convicted, you'll say, God, I want that revival now. But you still have to get in the spirit of it. But what? Getting in the spirit is willingness for all of these answers. Yes, God, I'm willing to do it. God, you know in my heart, it's almost impossible for me to sacrifice a lot of things. But God, I'll tell you right now, tonight I want to. But you can't. But you're getting in the spirit of it. Tomorrow you wake up, God, I want a revival. This is not a service church that you walk out of and you say, okay, what's he going to preach next? You have a chance to respond to God. Because what this is you becoming fully what you were made to be. You love God? The reason why things are dry, church. But don't think that they're meant to be that way. They don't have to be that way. We've seen little bursts, but we can make a big burst. Because it's time. I ain't going to wait for so-and-so's church. Or this, or Africa, or some other place, China, or wherever. Well, there's a revival going on there. Were you waiting for somebody to come over here? seemed pretty apparent that everyone here was desiring a revival, wanting to come fully what they're made to be, wanting experience with God that says, okay, I know I've got the Holy Ghost now. Okay, I know I've been refilled now. And this spirit of revival is something we're supposed to be constantly in. Now, as we've heard these convicting words, bride, how many with their heads bowed would be able to say tonight, God, I'll say yes to every single one of these questions, God. Lord, I want a revival, God. Lord, I want to make that sacrifice. Lord, I want it now. It just shows that something's stirring there. But how many say, God, I'm willing to get into the spirit of revival. It's almost here. But God, I want to get into an expectation for it. I want to pray for it. I want to, God, cry out for it. Because I know that this is the right word. Amen. Let's just pray. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, how we love you tonight, God. And Lord, how our hearts, oh God, seem to be getting drawn back to these things, coming back to what we are, God. But Lord, we need to get rid of some sin. We need to be willing to realize that we are backslidden, that we need to be revived, that we need, oh God, to be a little more serious about sacrifice. But God, Lord, tonight, Lord, as we've heard this word, God, you've seen those that are sincere with you tonight, God, who answer, yes, I want all of this. I want it now, God. Lord, would you tonight, Lord, be faithful to your word? Lord, just like he said, who has been disappointed who has put forth this effort? God, we're all guilty there. But God, tonight we just want a little moving, Lord. Maybe a little Jacob stirring, God. Maybe a little wrestling with an angel that we feel that presence there. God, come amongst us, Lord. And God, move into our spirit, God, convicting us, breaking us, God. Breaking that fallow ground, Lord. Revive the work in the midst of these years, God. We might have started hot and heavy years ago, God. But Lord, we want a fire, God, a greater fire than that was, God. But Lord, we want to pass that up, God. And we want to move on into the fulfillment of this prophecy, Lord. God, we believe it's attainable. We believe it is realizable. God, we're standing here, God, convicted by this Holy Ghost. And God, I believe I won't be the only one to raise my hand, God. But Lord, I can tell you right now, with my hands up, like I'm surrendering, God. That Lord, I surrender to you, Lord, now. Lord, you know, God, that there's things in the way of me becoming a living revival. Becoming the living bride's revival. But God, I want to get into the spirit of it tonight. I want to come in an expectation that you can do these things here. That, Lord, you can become real here and become more real in my life. God, I submit myself to you now. Lord, the church here that's humbly, Lord, reaching out for those things, God. I pray, oh God, that, Lord, you give them their heart's desire. Put that unction there. Put that little anointing. Give them strength, Lord. And Lord, move us to another level, we pray. Oh God, we couldn't do it without the name of Jesus Christ. We couldn't do it without the person of Jesus Christ. God, bring forth the elect seed. Lord, we're crying out. We want that latter rain, God. We want this revival. How we're hungry for it, Lord. Soften these hard hearts. Give us more conviction about this filth of a life that we live. Convict me, God. Control me, God. Convict and control your church. I just pray you do it now, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'd be happy to pray with you. If you need to come at the altar, if you need to get down at your seat, if you just need to sing, find your leading tonight. Find a real God tonight. And Holy Spirit, rain, bring down.
Father.
get from you to live. And Lord, only here to tell the world about your grace until the day you take us all away. Then we'll cry out your name and say, I, God of grace, Lord, most high, Jesus Christ. Oh, we rely on your grace. Adonai, crowned in praise. Lord, most high, Jesus Christ.
To Jesus.
Save.